Welcome back everyone to the Dark Forest. If you're new to the channel, consider subscribing and smashing that thumbs up. And don't forget that bell. Download your favorite scary story on my Apple Podcast and Spotify, Tales from the Dark Forest. Now, let's get spooky. I grew up in southern Appalachia, in western North Carolina, 30 minutes outside of the town of Asheville. The hills and hollers of the Appalachian Mountains are some of the oldest mountains in the world, with some of the rocky formations dating back to over a billion years. That quite literally means they were here before there were terrestrial animals. As with most things that have been on this earth a long time, there are inexplicable anomalies both benevolent and malevolent. For example, the Brown Mountain Lights. Never in my life have I felt threatened or uneasy when witnessing them from Wiseman's View. On the benevolent side, sometimes when you walk through an abandoned old church, up near Mom and Dad's property line, you could feel good, warm and happy energy. It's like that first warm day of summer when the sunshine is not too hot but it's not too cold. Well, this story is not about one such anomaly. It's about something that is definitely malevolent. About a decade ago, I was in night school up at AB Tech, going to school for automotive mechanics. I would go into class at about 2 p.m. after I got off my part-time job, and would end up getting home around 10:30 p.m., depending on traffic. Every night I drove the same road, in my old 1973 W200 Dodge pickup. Some nights it would get rather boring, and I would take a different route, jumping off of I-40 and driving the back roads. On this particular evening, I had decided to just stay on I-40 because I just wanted to go home and go to bed. It was Thursday, and there was no class on Friday, and I wanted to get in bed early so I could go out into the woods and go hiking early tomorrow morning and watch the sun come up. As I jumped off of I-40 onto the exit where my parents lived, the night seemed to get darker and none of the animals that I could hear through my rolled-down windows made any more noise. The cab of my truck became smaller and smaller and my breaths quickened. I have never faced any kind of anxiety in my life, but at that moment, something felt off, and there was no way I could put my finger on what it was. I came to a stop on the exit ramp, turned to go down the road, and I happened to notice that the gas station off the exit where my mom and dad lived had no lights on. They were a 24-hour truck stop, and always had lights on, but I didn't think about it again after noticing. I just chalked it up to the power being out, but I could not shake the feeling that something was definitely askew. I slowly shifted through all the old truck's gears, not wanting to make any more noise than an old pickup already did. I leaned over my steering wheel and looked up at the moon through the windshield, and there was barely any stars visible, which was way out of the ordinary. If you've ever been to the Appalachia, primarily the sparsely populated areas where I'm from, you could see the Milky Way on clear nights. An absence of stars back home is only due to cloud cover, or whatever the hell went on this particular night. As I rounded a particularly sharp left-hand curve, and chugged through a straight stretch before the next right-hander, I looked at an ancient, decaying barn I always glazed at when riding that stretch of road, and thought about how long that thing had been there, and how many advancements and civilizations it had seen. For a split second, my gaze wandered on a very large, sickly-looking dog ran out from in front of my truck, no more than 10 feet in front of me. Old Betsy was a good truck, but she didn't stop well. Thump thump. I heard the fence posts. I had leapt in my truck bounce up out of my bed, and then back into it as I slid to a stop. The first thought was, oh God, now I have to tell these neighbors that I ran over their dog. That shit doesn't go real far with people around here. It can really set them off depending on the dog and the person. As I sat there breathing in the smell of burning rubber, something else found its way into my nose. The stench of rotting flesh. It's not a smell you ever forget once you smell it one time. I didn't pay too much attention to it at the time. I just chalked it up to some rotting roadkill nearby. Finally, I thought to myself, let me go check and see who this dog belongs to. I pushed the clutch in, shifting to reverse, and as I looked in my rearview mirror, illuminated by the haunting glow of my reverse lamps, was the same dog. Only, it wasn't on four legs anymore. It had stood up like a man. A man well over 10 feet tall. Only then did it dawn on me that the front of my truck was every bit of 5 feet tall, and this dog was every bit 5 feet tall of the shoulder on all fours. As it turned its head to look in the direction of my truck, I caught only a glimpse of this creature. It was not a dog. It was not a man. It was somewhere in between, and at the same time entirely separate altogether. Its skin hung loose off of its thin frame, like a raccoon. Bits of matted fur and dirt and mud clung to its legs like a disease. The right arm seemed a little longer than the left, and they both hung abnormally low. In recollection to either animal, this creature seemed to be. As it regained its senses, it turned and looked into the mirror like it knew exactly where I was sitting. The face was that of a man's, but a very edge of its face seemed not to be totally defined. They seemed to move and change like something you would see on a cellular level in some scientific documentary. There were no eyes, but only sockets where eyes should have been. No hair, and the skin that was dripping off of its face was a cold, lifeless gray color. The nose was short and shoved into its face, like a bulldog, but the teeth. The teeth still haunt me. It was definitely carnivorous, like a dog. And true to its form and the rest of its unnatural look, many of its teeth didn't seem to be arranged in a natural way in its mouth, canine-like. They seemed to fill and spill forth from the indefinable face, almost like they knew the horror they occupied and they were searching for a way out. It stared through my life, into my eyes and past my soul. It seemed like an eternity, but it couldn't have been more than a few seconds that I sat there paralyzed. A light came on the house next to the road, causing the creature to snap its gaze in the direction and tear off into the woods on its back two legs, like a man. I jammed my old truck into first gear and roasted tires all the way through first, snatching second gear, and drove as fast as I could home. When I got to the house, both of my parents were asleep. I went downstairs into my bedroom and loaded every firearm I possessed, and locked all of the doors. I couldn't wake them up, and who the hell would believe that, and it was 10:30 on a Thursday night. The basement was eerily quiet that night. Even their dogs that got up to raise hell at outside animals at all hours of the night were dead silent. The old post and beam house didn't even creak or pop that night, as was usual. At about 3 a.m., I started to finally get drowsy, and as I went to lay my head down to get some sleep, so I could still attempt to go hiking the next morning, I smelled the stench of death again. It was faint at first, but it was definitely there. I thought to myself, you're just going crazy. None of that shit was real. But as I dwelt on it, it became more and more noticeable until it filled my entire basement. My dad has a home office in the basement with two large glass doors that face Pisgah National Forest, an impenetrable 500,000-acre woods. I finally worked up enough courage to walk out of my bedroom and into the basement living room with my little tactical 12-gauge loaded, tack light on. I covered the flashlight with my hand, so as not to make my presence known until need be. And I turned right out of the living room into my father's office. I shined the light through the glass doors, and at the edge of the woods, there stood the creature. It was motionless. It stared right into the light, unafraid, with those soulless sockets devoid of eyes. I quickly covered my tactical light, ran into the living room, flipped on the outdoor floodlights, and to my surprise, it was no longer standing at the edge of the woods, but between the house and the edge of the woods, still motionless. I swung the door open and fired every round I had in its direction. I must have scored a couple of hits because it screeched an unearthly scream, like that of a woman being slaughtered as it took off into the woods. The dogs went crazy. Mom and Dad woke up asking me what the hell I was doing. I told them that a bear had gotten into the trash and I was scaring it away. They didn't believe me, but I knew they wouldn't believe the truth either. I didn't sleep that night, or any time until the following Sunday. Everything seemed to return to normal, and I didn't think about the creature again until I met my wife about 6 years later. Her mother's house sits at the mouth of the holler, no more than 4 or 5 miles up the road from my mother and father's. Up on the side of the holler, there were kennels for her brother's hunting dogs, no longer in use and haven't been in years. But the fence is still there, and the concrete pad is still there. It's a thing of great use when you need to quarantine an animal. Her Great Pyrenees had gotten into a tussle with a raccoon, which of course he destroyed. But his rabies vaccine had lapsed, so we had to keep him quarantined for a time. It didn't bother him. He kind of liked solitude. This particular night that we were coming home from a movie date in the neighboring town was the last night of quarantine for him. So we walked up the trail using our phone's flashlights to get to the kennel. And there he sat, patiently waiting, tail wagging, happy to see us. We put him on a leash and started walking back to the house with him. As we were walking back through the darkness, I started to feel the same thing I had felt the night that I hit the creature with my truck. I didn't say anything as to not alarm my wife, but then the smell came back in on the breeze. She jokingly asked me, "My God, what did you eat? You stink." I half-assed laughed, not being able to fully appreciate the joke for the horrors that raged within my mind. She immediately caught on and asked me what was wrong, to which I could only reply, "I'll tell you later." She grew up in the woods and around hunting and things of that nature her whole life, so she knew what I meant. She knew we were being watched by something. When we could see the lights of the house from the trail of the kennel, we heard it. There came barking from the kennel that sounded just like the Great Pyrenees we had on a leash next to us. It was a perfect imitation. The Pyrenees, being a guardian dog, immediately sensed that something was wrong, and so he turned to face the danger, belting out deep barks and growls in that direction. I don't know if you've ever had to drag a 150-pound dog, but it sucks, and it's no easy task. I'm 6 foot and 240 pounds, and it was all I could do to get him back to the house. The barking never ceased the entire time we were running towards the house. In fact, it seemed to grow closer and closer until it seemed it was coming from inside our own head. Her mother heard the commotion and flipped on the floodlights on as we made it into the fence of the yard, and I caught a glimpse of something coming to a dead stop at the end of where the lights reached, wheeling around and tearing off back into the darkness. My wife looked at me and goes, "You want to tell me what the hell that was?" To which I replied, "Yes, let's go inside." I told her the story and she listened intently, hanging on every word. Her family came from a long line of granny witches and other supernatural healers of the Appalachians. So her older sister came over the next morning with some herbs and chants to bless the property and to ward off evil. I suggested we go up to the dog kennels and do them as well. When we got to the dog kennels, they were completely destroyed. The very concrete foundation was cracked and the chain-link fence was torn off of its posts. The doghouses were destroyed, and the place reeked of the stench that followed the creature. My wife's older sister just went about her business like normal, blessing the place, burned some herbs, and led us back to the property. When we got back to the house, she wheeled about on us suddenly and instructed us very firmly to never go into the woods after dark, not until this thing left me alone. To make a long story short, my wife joined the military and she ended up getting stationed in Delaware. Well, as someone who had lived around fairly large mountains and endless wilderness their entire life, Delaware is pretty terrible. At least that was my thought when she first moved into the middle of a 50,000 plus population city. Fortunately, though, it didn't take us long to find a house in a sleepy little community further south. We purchased the house and moved in with haste. We were both very grateful and glad to be out of the city and into a rural setting again. The land in Delaware seemed lifeless in comparison to Appalachia. The sparsely populated woods don't possess any energy that goes one way or the other. The ground doesn't seem to be alive like it did in the Appalachia. Having not thought about the creature in a long time, I resumed my staying outside after dark and playing with our dogs in our rather large yard that borders a small patch of woods. Well, last night I went outside to play with the dogs, and as dark sat in, I built a decent-sized fire in my fire pit and consumed some good old-fashioned Appalachian mountain cough syrup from a mason jar. And just as the fire was dying down, my American bulldog tore off towards the woods. He had a habit of running off to go on adventures, so my immediate instinct was to chase him down in the yard and tackle him so he could not get away. As I tackled his 110 ass to the ground and threw him in a fireman's carry over my shoulders, I heard him begin to bark. Only, the bark was not coming from him. The only sound coming from him was a deep, rumbling growl. A noise I had never heard him make. It was a threatening noise. Something was definitely wrong. And as I ran with him over my shoulders back to the house, the stench of death again began to fill the air. The other two dogs must have caught wind of what was happening and met me by the back door, which I threw open, slammed shut, and locked again, loading my firearms. How the hell could this thing have followed us 650 miles up here? As I flipped my floodlights on, at the backside of my house, several of the bushes and small trees at the forest's edge were still shaking like something had just run through them. My dogs went crazy all night, barking and howling, attempting to get out the windows. I didn't sleep a bit, and I don't think I will for a while. I know for sure I won't be in the woods after dark ever again in my life. Not until this thing is gone.